The following is this week's recording of our live streams, which take place on Discord. We call these meetings kinship because we realize that the deepest mutuality is not one of biography or biology, but one of ideas. And this is a time for us to discuss the most edifying ideas that come to mind. You can join the Discord community to meet and interact with like-minded people via the link in the description. I hope you will enjoy the following discussions.
A person who had, you know, caused a bad situation for me, and I was searching pretty hard for forgiveness. And I don't know if I'm still, I think I'm still looking for forgiveness for that one person. But in that whole process, while I was writing one day, I had this letter come out forgiving a different person, and there was someone I hadn't thought about or wondered about or even felt like I still had any anger towards anymore. And I'm wondering if, like in that case, if there was some sort of, you know, observing mind or subconscious mind that maybe could have process that for me while consciously I was focused on another person and another situation.
So in that other situation, you were looking for forgiveness or what? I didn't catch that part.
No, I was trying to forgive this other person for hurting me.
And you were not able to do so, you said?
Not with the one situation, but while I was trying to find that forgiveness for that person, this whole other...
And what stood in the way of you being able to forgive that person?
I wonder if it was just like the freshness, the recentness of the situation.
You don't have to go into specifics. When I ask what stood in the way, I mean more like what was the barrier in terms of an emotion or whatever you were holding against them. What was that? You know, like when you wanted to feel forgiveness, so to speak, and give forgiveness, what came up inside of you that said, no, you are not allowed to forgive this person?
I think I felt like she didn't deserve it, even though I was trying to forgive to help myself out.
That's right. Forgiveness, forgiving others is for yourself. It's not for others.
Right.
So what was it about you that you felt you didn't deserve to be free from resentment towards anyone?
Gosh, I don't know. I haven't thought about that situation in those kind of terms, I guess.
But it's also not about the situation. To be able to forgive one person is to be able to forgive all people. And vice versa, because forgiveness is not something where you judge. You're not supposed to judge, right? So when you say, oh, for this person in this situation, they deserve my forgiveness, so I can give it. But in this other situation, I can't give them my forgiveness. They just don't deserve it. It's just not right. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is no matter what, no matter why, no matter who, I wish you well. And we talked about wishing well before, right? Wishing well is to simply not hate someone. And also, more specifically, do you not wish this person or any other person that they finally understand what is true and what is wrong, what is right and what is wrong? What is of goodness and what is not? Don't you wish for them to be able to tell the difference between those things in life?
Oh, for sure. I do.
So, and what's a bigger, more valuable wish that you can wish to anyone than that? Is there a bigger wish than that?
Not that I can think of, no.
Right. And so that biggest wish you can give to anyone, right? Because, yeah, they've done something wrong. Otherwise, they wouldn't. What would you forgive them for? Of course, they did something wrong. So, and to whomever does anything wrong, whatever it is, don't we wish them well? Don't we wish that they learn the difference between right and wrong, good and bad?
Yeah, and if, absolutely.
Yeah, and if we want that for them, just like the way I just said it now, if we want that for them, then that means we wish them well. And to wish someone well is to forgive someone, is to not hate someone, because you wouldn't wish anyone well whom you hate. So as soon as you stop hating someone in this way, you are of love, like for yourself, you receive, you are in a state, as we talked about before, love is not a feeling, love is not an emotion. Love is a state of being, and that state of being is peace. So once you are able to wish someone well like that, that means you are letting go of hate. And when you let go of hate, you attain peace. And when you attain peace, you have forgiven that person and every other person, because you can forgive 10 people and there can be that one person that still you have resentment and hate for. And then you are out of the state of love. You are in the state of hate and resentment again, non-peace. And that's why we always say, you cannot love anyone until you love everyone. And to love is to wish well, and to wish well is to forgive. So if you cannot forgive everyone, you can also in the same way not forgive anyone. And if you cannot forgive anyone, you cannot be in peace.
Right. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it in terms of that I was holding back, you know, something from myself and this other person, I suppose.
Yeah, the reason you couldn't forgive that person is not because of what that person did, is because of you could not overcome hate within yourself. And that hate within you has nothing to do with that person, because they can only bring out something that's within you. They cannot create that. They cannot invent it. They cannot put it there. It was already there. And so whether this person or that other person provokes that resentment, that hate, that anger within you, or another person, it doesn't matter. The issue is in you. The hate is in you. If you had no hate, who could do what to make you a person who was unable to forgive?
Right,
it's not nothing. Possible. It's not possible. You need to overcome the resentment, the hate that you have within yourself, for the world, for others, for yourself. Hate is hate. As soon as someone has hate, it doesn't even matter what they hate. It's just they have hate, period. And someone who has hate, it's going to come out in this way today, in another way tomorrow, but it's all the same thing. And so if you learn to overcome hating within you, if you overcome resentment, which is the same thing, then you will not only be able to forgive everyone, you will be able to love everyone, including yourself. And you'll just be in peace. And you'll never have to forgive anyone, by the way, because there will never, ever be anything to forgive again. No one will be able to do anything that will require you to forgive them.
Right. Yeah, thank you. I'm not sure where else to go with that, but that was super helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, and just think about it. As we always say, there's no deadline, there's no pressure. You don't need to go somehow figure out how to forgive this person today. This is just something to think about for you to sit with and say, wow, this is within me, you know, this is a me problem. That's why I always say, whenever we get disappointed, we are wrong. Whenever we get offended, we are wrong. Whenever we are angry, we are wrong. Even if we are right, you
Right.
know, even if someone does make a mistake and they cost you a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money, heck, they even cost someone's life, let's say. If you get resentful towards that, then you're wrong still. Those two things are separate. The mistake is one thing that's on that person. It has nothing to do with you. They did that. They carried that out. It comes from them, and it mostly impacts them actually also. But the resentment you feel, the anger, the hate, that which makes you unable to sleep at night even, that does not come from them. That's inside of you.
Right.
And everything we do, you know, everything that philosophy says, the religions really say, even though most people don't seem to see it, that it's there, is about letting go of this hate. That's why Jesus said, put down your weapons. Because as long as you're fighting, you are hating. Without hate, what's there to fight? If everything is okay, if you're in a state of peace, the absence of hate, then there's nothing to fight. And so that's why he says, you know, he never says, beat your enemy and then be at rest and then be at peace. Overcome your challenges and then be at peace. No, he says, lay down your weapons, don't even fight.
Right.
And so that's what we need to learn to do. Okay. And
Yeah.
whenever you're ready to do that, you can forgive that person within you. And I think it's also healthy to go tell the person, because it's an opportunity for them to realize that the world has released them. You know, people who don't yet understand that the world has no right, other people has no right to put requirements and obligations and duties on us. Those people are somewhat helped by someone coming to them and saying, I forgive you. You know, this thing that was over your head this whole time, I release you of it. And then maybe they can realize that, wow, if they can do that, despite me having done the mistake or whatever, maybe I can forgive people too. And
Oh,
then
amazing.
the more people that they release, they'll realize, wow, this makes me feel at peace. It's nice for other people, maybe potentially, but that's not my business anyway. But it makes me freer. I am releasing anger, hate, resentment, regret, worry by releasing people out of my hate. I was forcing people into my hate. You know, because the hate isn't within me, the thoughts are within me, and I keep in my thoughts dragging that person and like dunking them into my hate. And that's how I spend my time. It doesn't do anything to that person. That's how I'm spending my time. And why would I do that? That's the opposite of peace. And so if you want peace, you need to love everyone. And when you love everyone, you will forgive everyone and anyone. And when there's no one left to forgive, no one left to hate, then what else is possible than peace?
Right. I
Yeah.
was just thinking about this person now and the question or the video about assigning roles to people.
Same
I
thing.
feel like maybe now, right, I have assigned a role to her as, the bad guy or the problem causer or the whatever. And
That's
that's
exactly
probably their
right.
blockage.
Yeah. And that's why you have a problem. even though problems are illusions. But you've made the illusion, so you're going to have the problem. And you're going to have that problem as long as you have the illusion. But you gave yourself the illusion, and only you can take it away. Again, sometimes it can be interesting when someone else comes and is able to say or do something that takes you out of your illusion. But still, what's the best? Who's the best person to do that? It's not anyone else. It's you, right? And you're a person who thinks deeply about things. You don't need someone else doing that. And most people are unable to do it, as you know. So you don't want to rely on other people. You don't want to rely on having this random realization somehow. You can know this now.
Right. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And do you have a response to the question of the week?
Yeah, I think so.
So the question of the week is, whenever you have done wrong, were you being evil or were you being misguided?
I think misguided, you know, even at times when I was purposefully being mean or cold or disrespectful to someone, I think it came from a place of hurt and fear, which is just the ego being misguided. I don't think I've done anything evil. And even if I think about other extreme cases or people or even this person I'm having a hard time forgiving, it's just extreme versions of hate or anger or fear. You know, I don't know if there's any sort of thing as a sliding scale for any of those emotions, but no, I don't believe I've ever done anything out of evil, nor has anyone else.
All right. Thank you very much for that answer. And thank you very much for the topic you brought up. It could not be more relevant to everyone here, because it's something that every single human being deals with. It's part of being a human. You know, this is what we need to overcome. It really seems like, to me, the more and more I think about it and the more time passes since I've been realizing that, it really seems to be the key, or the largest part of the key, to let go of that hate and to stop assigning that to people and to forgive everyone, and thereby to just return to a state of peace, really. And so that was very valuable to discuss, I think. So thank you very much for that. I will put you back in the audience, and thank you again so much. That was great. I think everyone here enjoyed that. Even the chat is quiet for a little bit because I think they're just listening. That was so amazing. And so I have a special thing for you today. Special as in out of the ordinary. Since we are discussing the concept of evil these couple of weeks intensively, I have a special guest for us today who has a very, very relevant experience, real life experience, about the concept of evil, and who has to deal with that idea and deal with what side on that this person is standing on, in terms of, do they believe in it? Do they not believe in it? Do they see it in the world? Do they not see it? They have to make that decision almost every single day. And they face that question every single day. And so I just want to invite this person to speak, and then we will hear the story and how it came to be that we are here today. And I think you will find their perspective, their insights, very, very valuable. And I think it'll just be an interesting discussion. So I will send the invite to speak to our special guest today.
So hello, all.
Hi.
My name is Malak. Hi. My name is Malak, the same way as pronounced in Turkish.
Nice.
Since I lived in Turkey for a year, I believe that your name, Atish, means fire.
That's right.
Doesn't it? Okay. I want to say that I feel lucky that I discovered your content 2 months ago or so, and that you provide such a wonderful, powerful, and impactful content. The videos filmed in nature are my favorite, especially the one shot at the donkey farm, where you stated that how humans can fulfill their unique purpose in life by rationally and deliberately practicing virtues like kindness and justice, inspired by the instinctive resilience animals show when overcoming trauma. So I watched your video about misguidance, where you stated that all actions that are generally considered as evil are in reality actions that result from misguidance. And that ignorance means unawareness. And like every single human being is born as an innocent baby, there is not a single one that's born like an adult evil man. And so many other ideas that I feel like I have different points of views that correlate to my reality as I live in Gaza. So I understand the philosophical idea that evil does not exist and that all wrongdoings comes from ignorance. There is truth in that when we talk about people who are genuinely confused or misled. But this idea breaks down when faced with real intentional harm. There is a fundamental difference between ignorance and conscious choice. A person who does not know better can be guided. A person who knows they are causing harm and chooses to do so anyway is not ignorant. They are making a deliberate decision. This is what I call evil in action. A starving person who does not know how to get food except by stealing, this is a circumstantial failure. However, a corrupt CEO who knows his food will ruin lives but chooses to ignore the value of others for personal gain, this is a moral failure. So calling both ignorance and treating them the same is a profound injustice. It insults the victim by equating them with their oppressor. In Gaza, we're not being harmed by ignorant people. We are being destroyed by those who have been told repeatedly about the death and suffering they cause, and who continue with clear intention. To call this ignorance is to erase our reality and excuse the unforgivable. Yes, every person was once an innocent child, but growing up means gaining awareness, a mind, and a heart, and with them, responsibility. A child cannot be judged as good or evil, because they are not fully conscious. An adult can.
Right, and Malak, let me just. I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to say that I think it'd be most valuable if we just had a conversation about it, and that's why I actually invited you here today. Otherwise, I really value your insights and your opinion, and that's why you're here today. I just would rather do it in a conversation and a back and forth rather than, going through everything at once like you're sort of doing right now, because the value of conversation, which we normally don't get if we sent each other long texts, long speeches of every argument that we have and everything that we want to say back and forth, that's fine. That's good. But the unique opportunity in a conversation is that we can say one thing and then respond to that and then say another thing and respond to that, right? And so,
yes.
First of all, the most important thing to me here is I want to thank you for being here, for even trusting this place and giving your time to give your insights and the very unique position that you are and the very unique insights that you are able to have through that. And what we're interested here in generally is if philosophy can guide us through real life, right? If it's applicable and has real value in real life, or if it is just a hobby, just something to study and just something to have fun with, or if it can be more. And so that's why it's so interesting for everyone here, I think, that you're here, so that we can actually test ideas in real world scenarios. Because often people do what ifs, right? They say, oh, what if it's war and these people are doing this, and then so let's discuss evil like that, like a thought experiment. No, I always say what ifs are not helpful either. So, but now we have a person who is really going through a war situation where the question of good and evil, misguided, etc., is not only relevant, but vital to know the difference between, right? And to know which one believes in, and that will guide all our actions. So first of all, thank you for even being here. Like I said, it's super valuable to us that you're even here. And
yep.
I don't know if everyone caught that. Melek is in Gaza right now. She lives there, and I assume you've been born there. You were raised there. Is that true?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So truly, someone who knows the area, knows the people, knows the situation, lives the situation. And so, since we were discussing the concept of evil, I thought it would be extremely helpful for us to have this exchange. So, I might want to begin with just defining the concept of evil, right? To give it our definition so that we know exactly what we're talking about. Because often we use terms, even though evil is not necessarily such a term, but, well, actually it is. It's used so often that it almost has no meaning, right? Some people, when they say evil, they just mean bad. Some people, when they say evil, they mean really the worst acts a human can ever do. But what really is evil, right? That's what we're trying to find out. So I want to give my definition, and then I want to see if you agree with it, and then we can continue with that, right? So
okay.
In my opinion, when I use the word evil, it means to do wrong knowingly and willingly. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. So the question then is, not are people evil or are they not evil, but does anyone ever do anything wrong, bad, on purpose, right? Willingly and knowingly. And you've already spoken of the difference between ignorance and non-ignorance, right? So when someone doesn't understand what they're doing, they think they're going to get one result out of an action, but really in reality, what they're doing is causing something entirely different. And it ends up, so they intend good, let's say, but they do something that inevitably is going to lead to a mistake. And that we call ignorance. That's clear to everyone, right? And so we can sort of say that that's not evil, even though this person is doing something wrong and they are actually doing something bad. It's harming someone, right? And it's morally wrong. And in all these ways, it's just plain right wrong. And so that difference,
like,
we can, yeah.
I said that, for example, a person who does not like have bread can steal a bread. He's not like he's aware of like stealing being something bad to do. He's not
Right.
evil in this case, whereas like someone like CEO, for example, stealing the money of their of like the workers there is an evil person, because this
Right.
is a moral failure and he's like crossing the values. So like evil is like doing wrong willingly, but like with crossing the moral values. This is would
Right.
be like more of a like a more of a complete definition of evil for me.
Yeah, or at least it would, I think it's a good example. You're right. So when someone steals out of hunger, even though stealing is wrong, we don't call that evil. But when someone steals money, not because they're hungry, just because they want more money, right? Then we say
Yeah.
that that's an evil action, even though those two actions were the same. They're both stealing, right? So we make that differentiation. So going off of your own example, perhaps maybe we just start there. What do you think makes it evil that the person who stole the worker's money in that situation, what made that person evil there?
It's that they crossed the moral values, as I said, that he's not considering other people's well-being, basically. Like, for example, in Gaza, the signs of global news, UN schools being hit and kids dying are huge. But like the bombers and pilots and planners see them,
right. But
but
let's
they
go
insist
let's
on.
go one thing at a time. Let's just start. We'll get there. I don't really want to interrupt you. I don't like doing that. We'll get to every single thing that you want to say. I just want to do it one step at a time. Otherwise, things build up and then we were sort of back and forth and it gets confused. At least it gets confusing to me. You know, I don't have that kind of brain. So in the case of the person stealing the money of the workers, what exactly makes that evil, as opposed to the person stealing the bread not being evil because they're stealing it because they're hungry?
So I, like, for example, a judge wouldn't like charge the both people the same, because there is a fundamental difference. I believe like a judge would be would like say that he crossed, as I said, the moral values and like caused harm to others. And he
but
insists
the
on
person
doing
who stole the bread
immediately.
Because they were hungry also crossed that moral boundary, right? They also did something wrong. Stealing is wrong, right?
His intention
so,
wasn't to cross that boundary. His intention was like to feed himself, but like the CEO's intention was like to just like fulfill his, I don't know, ego desires or take like desires, and just by crossing these values that are so important not to cross and like for us as a society to protect, he does
right,
that
so
anyway.
One question about that. Have you ever heard anyone say that they stole anything to satisfy their own ego?
Yes.
Like what?
I believe the CEO's example just basically justified they are doing it out of ego desires.
Do CEOs who steal ever admit that, do they ever say that they've stolen money out of evil desires and to satisfy their ego? Do they ever admit that?
Maybe yes to their other CEOs friends that do the same. They maybe they just encourage each. They maybe would be encouraging each others to do more of that and like to cross more red lines as they are in a powerful role that like the workers cannot do anything, and they don't want to maybe like lose their jobs, so they can't do anything basically.
But have you ever heard any evil person say that they did something evil to be evil, to satisfy their own ego, and that they did it out of evil intentions? Have you ever heard an evil person say that?
I believe the Israeli military does that a lot, and
they say that they are evil and that they are evil to be evil.
Basically, yes, they know they are evil. They see that they are evil. They continue to be evil.
Have you ever heard them say that?
That they are evil? Yeah, and they would
No. That they themselves are evil, that they like being evil, that they do things to be evil.
Sometimes when you know that you're doing wrong stuff, as like the IDF, for example, and you just don't regret your doings, your harm that you're causing to other people, this itself is a response. This itself says a lot that they know that they are evil, and they insist on continuing being evil. So they
right.
don't
but
have
do
to
they
say it
ever,
literally, but not.
But do they ever do say it literally? Because we do literally accuse other people of evil. We say you are evil, and you're doing it because you're evil, and you're going to keep doing it because you're evil. But the evil people themselves never seem to say that they are evil, and that they do things to be evil and because they're evil. Have you ever heard them say that?
Literally, maybe. I believe so, yes. Because
Can you
they
think of an example?
Insist
Can you
on
think
being
of a
evil,
time?
and they know that they are.
No, I understand that, Malik. I understand that. But I'm just trying to see if you have any personal experience of an evil person
like
admitting that they're evil, that they do bad things because they like doing bad things, that they enjoy doing bad things, and that they believe in being evil.
Like I said, in Gaza, the signs are so huge. The signs of UN schools, the signs of Global News and others are huge, and the pilots, the planners, seem to ignore all of that and just insist on being evil.
I understand
and
that their
I
that
believe
their actions.
I saw like videos of the IDF. Like we've in Gaza, we've been displaced throughout the war from place to place to place, and like the IDF would enter our homes and like use our stuff and wear the clothes of women and like do really bad stuff, and they just like they are happy doing that.
I understand that, but have you ever heard those people or any other people say that they are evil, that they know that, and that they like doing evil things precisely to be evil, or in any shape or form that? Have you heard anyone admit that?
Literally, I don't know, but like I get it when they like
okay, but
brag
let's not move
about
let's not move past the question. I'm just
actions.
Trying to I'm just trying to answer that one question so we can move on to the next question, because it's an important thing to sort of clarify, right? To see if evil people know that they're evil, right? Because if we can hear it from evil people directly, if we can just find an evil person and have them say, yeah, I'm evil, and I do evil things, and I do it to be evil, and I think that's good, then we can just close the case. We can just say, okay, evil exists, here you go. So I'm just wondering if you, in your personal experience, have heard anyone admit that.
I believe that anyone admitting that is like is not important to me, or for example, to a judge in a court wouldn't be waiting for the evil person to call or to admit that they are evil. That the judge can see the damage, the harm that this person did, and they would be calling them evil. The judge itself knows, and like I saw how the IDF was like showing off and like bragging about his harm and him and like its killing of children and hitting schools. So I'm not waiting for them to call themselves evil or admit that. It's
I
so
understand
obvious.
You're not waiting for it. I'm trying to understand the evil person's mind. I know your mind. I know you don't need it. I know it's not necessary to you. And I'm just trying to understand if in the evil person's mind, they know that they're evil. Whether they're evil or not is told by the facts. Just like you said, whether someone does something wrong, a mistake is judged by the facts, by truth, not what you think or what I think or what the person who's done it is thinking. You're absolutely correct on that. So we're not trying to understand what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, what is injustice. We're trying to understand how does the evil person's mind work? Because if we can understand something, then we can perhaps do something about it, right? But if it remains a mystery to us, then we have sort of no hope of fixing a situation or preventing future people from making those same exact horrific mistakes, right? So can we maybe safely say, just for the sake of our time, that we generally don't hear evil people admitting that they're evil?
But that
fair
doesn't
to say?
Mean that I don't care about them admitting they are evil. Like this is the last thing.
I understand that you don't care, and I don't care either. I understand you
like,
don't care.
Like this is not the evidence
of.
This is not the evidence of the evil, being there in the world.
I understand that, and like I just said, truth does not care about who admits what. Just like you said, you're absolutely correct. But just to understand the evil person's mind better. Do evil people generally admit that they're evil, or do they never say that they're evil?
Maybe they do. I believe they do. I don't know. I believe they do admit.
Well, if we can't think of, if we don't know that anyone's ever done that, we sort of have to assume that evil people don't, because I've never heard an evil person say that they're evil. If someone here has an example, they can bring that forth. I'm just trying to gather from your personal experience, if you ever heard a person who you would consider the enemy or an evil person or bad person, if you ever heard them say, yeah, you know, I'm evil and I have an evil mind and I'm an evil person and I do evil things.
I don't know, even if the evil doesn't say that, his actions speak louder.
You're
like,
absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I 100% agree.
And
but you don't hear them say it. Is that correct?
Maybe.
Okay, so can
maybe
you think of an example where
they
say...
Maybe he doesn't want to awaken his conscientious. Maybe he doesn't.
Right, but
like
we don't know that. We just want to look at the actions. We just want to look at this person's actions, right? Just like you were saying, what their actions speak louder than their words.
Like
so
deep down, he knows he's evil, even if he doesn't admit it, literally. Does he know
that's
he's
an
evil?
Assumption.
Yes, he knows. Does
that's an
he
assumption.
Say it literally? Maybe not.
Well, just as sure you seem to be as of this person's knowledge of themselves being evil, why can you not be as sure of the fact that they never admit that they're evil?
I believe they maybe know deep down that they are evil and they're causing harm and crossing like the boundaries of others. Maybe they don't admit it literally, but I believe they know deep down that they are causing harm. They are crossing the values and like the
I
boundaries
understand,
of
but
others.
do they admit it or not?
Literally to other people, maybe no, maybe, I don't know. But like deep down, do they know they are evil? Yes,
In your
they know. They
experience,
exist.
do they admit, do evil people generally admit that they're evil? Yes or no?
Like do okay, maybe they don't say it literally, but like their
Okay,
actions
so
say everything.
let's say that's good enough. Let's see. So generally, I think you and I agree that generally, people who are generally considered evil don't admit that they're evil. For whatever reason they do that, we don't know because we don't understand how that person's mind works really, right? We're far away from it. We don't want to have a mind like that. So and we don't need to probably get into why they do that. But fact seems to be just historically and from everything that we're observing. Evil people, even evil people, don't want to be evil. Otherwise, they would just admit that they are, right? And they would even take pride in it, perhaps. But no one wants to be evil. Everyone seems to be thinking, believing that whatever they're doing is the right thing. Do you believe that your enemy believes that they're doing the right thing? Whether they are right or wrong to believe that, do you think they believe that they are right?
I believe that they know they are doing the wrong thing, but they want to fulfill their ego desires or sick desires, let's say.
Right, and what are their desires, you think?
To maybe have more lands, like materialistic stuff, or maybe
It
to.
can it be, yeah, and that's interesting that you say that, because yeah, that's obviously true, and in fact, most wars, right, are in one way or another either about goods or land. Do you think it's a good thing, for any given country, any given people, for you and your family to have land?
Is it a good thing to have land? I don't believe they are targeting us because of our land. This is maybe one of the reasons. It's like multifactorial, let's say.
But
It's
look,
maybe because
hold
they
on one
want.
second, please. One sec. I asked you why they're doing what they're doing, and you said land. I didn't say land, okay? And
Yes, but like I
I
want
understand
like
that
to see more.
land is not probably the only reason, as it is in
Yes.
most wars. There are complicated
Yeah.
reasons that go into it. But I do agree with you that one of the reasons, not the entire reason
Yeah.
or even the most
Yeah.
important reason or whatever, but one of the reasons appears to be land, right? So let's since we do things one at a time and not all at once, you mentioned land. You'll mention other things and we'll talk about that too. But you mentioned land, and I do
Okay.
agree with it. That seems to be a objectively correct assessment of yours, that many of the things that are happening in your country right now are due to land. So, do you think that generally it is desired by good and bad countries, good and bad actors in war? Do you think they have it in common that they both, good and bad people, desire land?
I didn't understand your question, sorry.
No, that's no problem. I'll say it again, and I did say it too long. I'll try to be shorter. In your opinion, do both good people and bad people desire land?
Desire land, yes.
Right. So both good people and bad people desire land. So your enemy, the way you speak, the way you say it, desiring land is not what makes them evil.
But
Is
like
that
they're
correct?
desiring someone else's land. not their
No, I
land.
understand that, but land is always someone's land, right? There's no land that isn't owned by anyone. So when we say that
Like, for example, I've
land.
been born, raised in this specific home, and they now like bombed, for example, my home. And like, why they targeted my home? It is my family's home. I don't understand.
I
Like, they have
understand
their
that.
home, I
No,
have
no.
my home.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So just because
Why
something
wouldn't
can be desired by good and bad people doesn't mean that any way you can get it is the right way. So even when something is a good thing, such as land, land by itself is neither good or bad, right? The way you attain it, or what you intend to do with it, or what you do end up doing with it, is what determines if you did a right or wrong action by desiring it. But desiring land, period, not your land, not someone else's land, just land in general, to say we as a country need land. We need to live somewhere just like everyone else does. And if we can have more, then that's desirable, of course. Is it reasonable to desire land? So just like we already sort of talked about, both good people as well as bad people desire land. It is not the land itself that makes someone good or that makes someone bad, correct?
Yes, I wanted to say that it's not the problem is not them land. I think like basically ends does not justify means.
You're
Like
100%
of
correct.
course,
You're 100%
like I
correct.
desire land, other people desire land, but like that does not justify how they take this land.
Right. But I want to ask you this question. And I want you to try to not put names to it, certain people to it, certain situations to it, experiences in your life. This is a more of a hypothetical, but not really hypothetical question. Can you see in human nature a good person desiring land and that there's nothing wrong with that? And that that person, due to their desire of what is good, become bad?
Yes.
So do you think there's a possibility, a slight chance, that the people who are, among other things, desiring the land that you live on, live in, that they want something that is neither good nor bad inherently, and that they
Yeah.
start out with good intentions, and then trying to achieve their goals and trying to achieve their desires, which we all have, make very bad mistakes and become corrupted in the process?
Yes, like I said, ends does don't justify means. Like there's nothing wrong in desiring a land, more money or anything, but how you fulfill your desire is the problem. You can
Exactly.
either buy it or steal it, so both
You're
are not the same
absolutely
thing.
right. So, is it possible that your enemy, in their own head, not in reality, not in truth, but in their own head, think that they're desiring something that is good in itself? And do you think they're also desiring it for the good of their own people, to better their own lives and to give their own children a better future? Do you think in their head it is this narrative that takes place?
No, because I, if they, if this is like the narrative that was in their head, they would have fulfilled it different ways that maybe didn't cause that harsh reality that we're living in. They could have just bought it or fulfilled it like in a good way rather than this ethnic cleansing that happened, and like target other than like targeting every single child, woman, and like school and everything. So they know that there's nothing wrong in like wanting this land, but like they did it the wrong way, and they know that they did it the wrong way, and they insist on doing it the wrong way because maybe they, I don't know, they see us as enemies. I don't know what's wrong with them. It's like the only explanation is that they have sick desires, sick, not desires, maybe sick means to fulfill their desires.
And their desires are not inherently good or bad, right?
Whatever, good or bad, but like the means matter the most.
No,
like,
I understand, but let's just do one thing at a time, right? It's just easier, simpler that way. Because you said very rightfully once again that means don't justify the ends, and that you said. Yeah. Their desires are not necessarily sick because they desire land, which is what everyone desires in some way, shape, or form, right? But that it is the yes. way that they're trying to get it, which is sick, in your own words, right?
Yes. Yes.
So is it possible that good desires lead to sick means to achieve them sometimes?
Yes. And I
so,
believe from what I
again one thing
know
one
that,
thing hold on hold on this is important
yeah,
this
yes,
is important
yes.
What you just said is very important. That's why I don't want to forget it. So
okay.
if good, proper, in other words, desires can lead to sick means, sick ways of trying to achieve them.
Good desires.
Yeah,
okay.
Like land. Everyone wants land. There's nothing wrong inherently with wanting land. So the desire is not sick, like you said, but the way of attaining it, right, can be sick.
Okay.
So if a person with neutral or good, proper desires can end up in sick ways of trying to fulfill that good, proper desire, do you think in their own minds that they're still doing the right thing because their desire, their goal is right?
Yes, they are evil and they're doing it. And yes, they see and they know, like deep down, that they are evil. And I want to add that maybe they could have bad desires. Like, for example, the majority of us in Gaza are Muslims, and they also target Islam.
Right, but that's another
like
subject,
they
right?
Ban,
that's another reason. Like, land is one, like we talked about, and then perhaps.
So, like, I just wanted, like, to clarify that desires maybe could also like be bad. Not
of
all
course.
Desires are good.
No, of course. Of course. No, absolutely. We're just still going off the example of land. When we talk about land, the desire for land is not necessarily good. It's not necessarily bad, right? So that's not what makes someone evil. You've correctly, I think, in my opinion, I agree with you. You correctly identified that the ways of achieving something which is neither inherently good nor bad can make someone a bad person or a good person, or can make turn a situation into a mistake. So what I would like to suggest to you is this, if you can, and I want to see if you can approve of this, or if you can see the sense in this, or if it doesn't make any sense to you at all, that every person in their own mind wants to get what is best for them. Can you agree with that?
Yes. Not only for
and
them, maybe for the sake of their tribe also.
Sure, also. Yeah,
maybe,
but
like, for example,
at
like
the very least, it's... Yeah. No, but you're right. But if you bring it down to an individual level, though, like, you want what's best for yourself. You don't want something bad for yourself, right? And you don't, and among all the good things that you could have, you would want the very best thing out of those good things for yourself, if you can have it, right?
Yes.
So can we agree that every single person on earth is trying to get what is best for them?
Maybe they are wrong about deciding what's
they can
best
be wrong.
For them.
Yes, our judgment can be wrong, but our desire, our goal, our ambition is to get what we think is best for ourselves. Is that correct?
Okay, yes.
And when we fail to make the correct judgment, when we think that something is not only not even the best thing, but even just a good thing, right? When we say, this is a good thing for me, we all say that. Where we differ is our judgment, the correctness of our judgment. We all say, this thing that I want is good for me. Or like you said, good for my child, good for my family, good for my parents. But really, this thing that I want is good for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't want it, right? Or if I didn't want it, it wouldn't be good. So we can agree on that. Where we differ, in my opinion, and this is another thing I'm suggesting to you to see if you agree with it or not, where we differ as human beings is our judgment of if we're right or wrong about thinking this thing to be good. So I think this is good. You think something else is good. Some other person thinks something else is good. And one of us is wrong. One of us, even though we think this is a good thing, we are wrong. It is actually a bad thing that we want. Do you agree with that?
Yes. But like, again, I don't like, as a judge, I don't think a judge would be judging based on the desires, but rather based on the means to fulfill these desires.
We're judging people right now. We're not judging them. We're discerning what is right or wrong. Right. So we're not talking about a crime. We're not in a court. What we're trying to figure out is human nature. Right. And so you and I both agree, just to recap, that every single human being on earth is trying to achieve their ambition of what is best for them. And that that they desire it does not mean that it's good. And that they desire it does not also mean that it's bad. But they desire it because they think it is good. And do you think it is possible for us to desire something that we think is good, but actually desire something that is bad?
Like to desire both bad and good things?
No, to desire something and to think we desire it because it's a good thing, but in fact it is a bad thing. Is that possible?
Yes, it is.
And this is what I mean when I say misguided. We are led to believe, or we lead ourselves to believe, that this good thing that we wish for ourselves will bring us happiness. It will bring us peace. It will be good for us. But in fact, we are ignorant of the fact that we are wishing for the wrong thing. That we are desiring something that we think is good, but in fact is bad. And sometimes we'll even go to the lengths of saying, as you correctly have discerned, we say, I desire a good thing, otherwise I wouldn't desire it. And whatever gets me that good thing is okay for me to do. We say, I want this good thing, otherwise, I wouldn't want it, because all human beings want what's best for them, as we have established. And if I have to lie just a little bit, if I have to cheat just a little bit, and heck, you know what? this is so important to me, and this seems so good and so right and so good for my family, so good for my country, so good for my religion. I'm willing to go to war for that. It is so good. Yet, in fact, we are wrong. And in fact, this battle that we're waging among our friends, among our family, or physically in wars throughout history, we're actually doing it because we're desiring what seems to be good, but what is in fact bad. And this is what I mean. And this is, of course, not my idea. This comes from Socrates, Plato, and many other philosophers. This is how they say there is no evil, that all evil is actually misguidedness. Because even the evil people think that they know what they're doing. They think they're desiring the good and the right thing, that which is best for themselves and best for their families. And so they go on doing whatever action they think is right, once again, with the same judgment, to attain that desire. But in fact, they are wrong to do so, objectively. Objectively, they are wrong to do so, but they believe to be right. Now, how can a person be evil who believes that they're doing what is best for them, who believes that they're doing the right and good thing, whether they are right or wrong, whether they are correct or not? How can they be evil if they themselves believe to be doing the right, the true, the good thing? And this is where the idea of misguidance comes in. It doesn't change the fact that what these people are desiring is wrong. It doesn't change the fact that, as you correctly have said, that the ends do not justify the means. That's absolutely correct. The ends do not justify the means. But they're employing these ends, and they think that they will justify their means because they think their ends are good. And they're mistaken. They are misguided.
Yes, I agree with you.
Do you see now it is... But do you see now that it is impossible to do something wrong intentionally? Because ultimately, even if you're aware of your mistakes, even if you're aware that, yes, stealing is wrong, killing is wrong, lying is wrong, I am lying for the greater good. I am killing even for the greater good. My ends will justify my means. This is a mistaken belief, but this is the belief nonetheless. All these people who have ever done anything wrong, truly wrong, objectively wrong, have done it for a greater good. Either they didn't even know that even what they were doing was wrong, or they did know that it was wrong, but they did it for a greater good. And that general plan, that general idea of, even though I'm doing wrong, I'm doing it for something right, that is misguidedness. That is misguidedness. If the end was wrong too, and they knew it, and they did it anyway, that's when it would be evil. Because as we defined it, evil is to do wrong on purpose. But not the wrong that will get you to the right thing. To do the wrong thing on purpose would be to do wrong, to do wrong, to do wrong, to do wrong. And not to do wrong, to do wrong, to do wrong, to do right at the end. Do you see that whatever plan, however complicated it might be, of a so-called evil person, always in their heads, not in reality, but in their heads, always supposedly leads to a good outcome?
Could you repeat it again?
My question was, do you see that all the bad things that people do, objectively bad and objectively wrong, in their own minds, not in truth, not in reality, but in their own mind, it always is supposed to lead to somewhere good and right and true?
for their own sake, but like, why not consider other people's sake? Like, for your own sake, it is good for to do 1, 2, 3, but like, you know, you also know you have like the mind, the heart to, you know, like the values, the moral values. It is good for, it is bad for others. It is good maybe for your own sake, but like, what about others' sake?
But those others are wrong.
Like the
Those
wrong
others
thing.
are evil. Why would I do anything good for evil people? Is what they would tell you. And then you would say, but they're not evil. But that's what they think. They think they are fighting evil. Of course, if they were of the same opinion and say, yeah, these are good people, of course they wouldn't do anything bad to them. In their minds, again, not in truth, not in reality, or in truth and reality. I don't know, it depends on the situation, right? But in their minds, they are fighting against evil and they're fighting for good, right? Or what's best for themselves. This again depends on the situation. Either it's best for themselves and the best thing for the whole world, in their opinion, or it's the best thing for themselves and it's the best thing for their family. Or it's the best thing for themselves and it's something that they can do against evil, whatever it may be. But do you see that the evil mind, the so-called evil mind, it does not ever truly, truly, willingly, knowingly do anything wrong?
For example, hearing like the IDF are not all from Israel. Maybe they are from other countries, and like these people would come and kill just for money. They are not in,
Yes,
ethnically
because they
or
think money
any.
is the highest good. Because they think money will bring them peace. Because
Don't
they
they
think
know
money.
that killing is a
I
bad thing?
understand. But see,
They know.
their highest good is peace. Their highest good is happiness, just like all of ours are. And they are under the misguided belief that killing can get them there. They are under the misguided belief that harming others, whom they don't care about anyway, can get them there. Or other people generally are under the misguided belief that lying, cheating, deceiving can get them there. We all do this in our daily lives. Someone at their job, they'll see $100 laying around and they know no one will ever miss it. And they say, what's the harm? It will bring me joy, it will bring me happiness, it will help me pay my rent, it will ease my mind, it will bring me a little bit of peace. And don't I deserve that? So many people have taken so many things from me and or have never given me things in my childhood, for example, that I deserved. My parents weren't very nice to me, so I deserve these $100. I'm not saying that this argumentation that I just gave is correct. In fact, it is objectively wrong. But in this evildoer's mind, that's their narrative. So, in their own mind, whether they are right or wrong, they think they deserve it. They think it is right. They think it is good. Or, at the very least, they think it is not harmful. Again, they're mistaken, they're misguided, but that's what they think.
Maybe this is part of the truth because they, their highest good is money and they want it and they would kill for it. But this is, they also know for sure that killing is a bad thing. So they know both that killing is a bad thing and like money, I don't know, like there is their highest good. So they know both. So they have the mind and heart to know that killing is a bad thing. And I, like, for example, if he killed, like, I don't know, it's called a manslaughter, like to kill without knowing. Like, for example, if one killed someone else by mistake, isn't the same as someone like killed purposefully for money. This is what I wanted to say. And like, this distinction is so important to say because if you call both misguided, you would be like justifying the one that
Me
killed
saying
for.
anything is misguided does not justify or unjustify anything. That's another important thing
Because you've
that I would like to tell you, because
waited.
We are not the judge of truth. Truth is truth. When we identify someone's motives as misguided, we understand that person better. But it changes nothing about their responsibility. They are just as wrong. The mistake is just as bad. And whatever punishment there is for that, in terms of the criminal system, the justice system, it needs to be applied just the same way. It changes nothing. What it changes is when we realize that this person is only looking out for themselves, trying to do the best they can for their family, for their religion, for their country, for whatever it is, for their friends, then we understand the person better. And the more we understand, the less we hate. And the less we hate, the happier we can be, the more at peace we can be, and the better we can prevent from people becoming this way, from our own children becoming this way. What if your own child, you, your friends, anyone who's being born right now in your country, grows up with that hate of saying there are people in this world who don't want me to exist, and that's objectively wrong, and I hate them, and be angry their entire lives, be resentful their entire lives, get into violence because of that hate, because of that anger, whom does that serve? You do not want your own child to be angry. Yet the very idea of evil is that bad people know exactly what they're doing and they do it anyway. And that, of course, will make someone angry and it will make you hateful. But if we spend a little bit of time in human nature, if we think of ourselves, and this is why this is the question of the week this week. The question of the week is, whenever you have done wrong, were you being evil or were you being misguided? There's not a single person in here who would say, whenever I've done a mistake, I knew what I was doing. Because afterwards, it turns out to be a mistake. And then I finally see the flaw in my logic. I finally see where I went wrong. And I would never repeat that mistake. That's why I call it a mistake. But in the situation, I didn't know any better. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was doing the correct thing. I thought I was helping people, actually. And so I was misguided. I was not evil. I did not know that I was driving down the wrong side of the street and I hit a car. I wasn't out that day purposefully to hit a car. And then someone here will say, well, there are people who purposefully drive on the wrong side of the road and hit cars. Yes, but they do it for something. They think it's right to do that for some reason. And again, they're deluded, they're misguided, they're wrong. But in their minds, there's a purpose to it. In their mind, there's some outcome, some good outcome that they're looking for. Again, of course, they're wrong, but that's why they're doing it. And however large the circle of means and ends gets, at the very outer layer of that circle, there's always that good intention. Again, right or wrong, deluded or not, there's always that supposed, that desired outcome where people will say, and everyone will turn around and see that I was right all along. And they will say, you're not evil. We see that now. Again, they are wrong in thinking that. They are wrong in believing that. But is that not what they believe? Is this not what human nature tells us? That at the end we will be proven right? Can you not see that in your fellow humans? This delusion, this wrongness, this misguidedness, but nevertheless, this fact that everyone believes that eventually they will be proven right?
Yes, maybe, but I believe, yes, maybe they are misguided, but to make a why not making a further distinction between the two, the people who do wrong willingly and the people who unwillingly, because they are not even treated the same like the one who does something wrong willingly, unwillingly, maybe could be treated best by mercy. And because he's like lost and just would appreciate the consciousness that he would gain by your mercy. And like the other one that does wrong willingly, I believe like he should be treated with justice, and that's why justice exists. And to say like both people are just misguided without further distinction, like I believe if like an evil person saw this or heard of this, he would be happier and like he would commit more crimes because they see that people just see them as misguided, and they would think that they are not held account. They should be held account accountable. And
but
they
Malek,
should
how
be.
Many times, how many times did I say they? Nothing changes about accountability. Nothing. This idea of
so
misguidedness is for us. It's for you. You can make the distinction if you want. I never said don't
like,
make the
why
distinction.
Not
whatever justice says, that's what needs to be done regardless. Nothing changes about that. The distinction, in fact, between evil and misguidedness is for you. It's not for the person who's doing a mistake, who's doing a wrong. Nothing changes for them. When someone goes lying, cheating, deceiving, or even killing for whatever reason, they are harming themselves. They just made themselves a killer. They just made themselves a deceiver. And whatever the justice system wants to do with them, that will be done with them. That changes nothing about that. The distinction between evil and misguidedness is for you. It's for your family. It's for your friends. It's for your children. It's for your country. It's not for anyone else. It's so that you don't grow up in hate. It's so that you don't continue the misguided cycle of violence. So that you know what is right or wrong. So that you don't get swept away by the idea this person is evil and I need to punish them. If I don't punish them, then they will get away. And this person doesn't understand the language of reason. They only understand violence. So I guess I will have to do violence too. It's an eye for an eye. Your religion tells you that that's wrong. Your religion tells you that that's wrong. And so you are the one who's supposed to know that. That an eye for an eye makes the whole world go blind. And the idea of misguidedness does that for you. It gives you that clarity.
Believe,
it gives you that insight.
Yes, I believe I, like, by making the distinction between these two, like, different type of wrong or misguidance, I'm not encouraging hate or anger, but rather, like, I'm encouraging responsibility and, like, being held accountable, and also like justice. And like an eye for an eye could be a thing, like could happen. Why not? Like when you are the target of someone that like wants to fulfill like bad desires or whatever desires, why not like to defend yourself? So eye and for an eye is not wrong necessarily. Even in my religion.
I mean,
this is
we
justice.
Can go on.
If someone like killed your child, if someone killed your child, would you like call them like they are ignorant, they are misguided, or would you like
100%?
What would you want them to be held accountable, and like would you want like justice to be
I want
applied?
Them to be,
and maybe
I want them to be held
like,
accountable.
In my religion,
the way
in my religion,
on,
if someone gets killed,
I want them to be held accountable in the way that truth, goodness, and justice demands, not in the way that eye for an eye. An eye for an eye means a murder for a murder. If someone killed yes. my child, the last thing, if someone killed my child, the last thing I would want to do is kill their child. The very last thing.
Not to kill because their child. To kill justice would be anything. Something like this.
If someone stole $100 from me,
to kill him,
the last thing I would want
to
do.
His child didn't do anything wrong, but like to kill him because he's the killer. So
no.
This is something in my religion, and like we have in my religion, the judgment day. Like I don't know if you know about this, but like our Lord in Islam, Allah is gonna judge everyone based on their actions, because everyone should be held accountable. And this is how I can live my life, because even if I don't see justice nowadays, but like I believe that justice would be applied someday or sometime, even if it doesn't happen in my age right now, it's gonna happen at some day, which is like judgment day for us.
Right, but I want to tell you this as a one last little thing, because I think we're also getting sort of away from the topic and the great conversation that we already had. I just want to point out to you just another something to think about. To hate someone because they hate you turns you into your enemy. Because whenever we hate someone, we hate them because they are hateful. We don't hate people who are not hateful. No one has ever hated anyone who is not hateful. And so whenever you hate your enemy, whenever you resent your enemy, whenever you're angry, you become like your enemy because your enemy is hateful. And so this is the idea of an eye for an eye. It's not always literally that. It's not always murder for murder or stealing for stealing. As soon as you get into the same mindset of your enemy, as soon as you look for revenge, which is often mistaken with justice. Revenge has nothing to do with justice. Revenge is the most unjust thing you can do to yourself, not to others, to yourself. And that is never more relevant than with the idea of evil. Like I said, I just want to tell you one more time, and I hope you do listen to the recording, because I've said this multiple times. And it's important, is that the differentiation between evil, or rather seeing the true nature of what we generally call evil, is for yourself. It does not make the evildoers, the wrongdoers' life any better or any worse. It makes your life infinitely better, because it takes resentment, confusion, hatred, away from you. It takes it away from you because you see how misguided this person is, how they don't even know the difference between right and wrong, between good and bad. They are ignorant, they are blind, they are almost pitiable. I talked about before that pity is not right either, but it is better than hate. And so to understand that is to give yourself peace. And you can have peace and still fulfill 100% of what justice tells you to do. In fact, a peaceful, logical, reasonable person will fulfill justice and do the very best thing for themselves, for their family, for their country, for humanity, better than anyone else who is blinded with hate and anger and delusion and misguidedness. And that's just what I want to underline one more time. But most importantly, in this entire conversation, I want to thank you for having it in the first place, for coming here and for being able to sort of exchange views and to be able to even talk about someone who you view as evil and who is of course, genuinely doing wrong things and making mistakes. And it's not easy to talk about these things. And so there's nothing more important than the respectful exchange of views and just a discussion between friends like we are doing. And the goal here is not at all to convince anyone of anything, right? You didn't come here to convince me of anything, and I didn't come here to convince you of anything. That's not the point. That's not what friends are supposed to do, right? Friends just sit down and have a conversation, and at the end, they both know a little bit more about themselves, about the world, about their past and their future and everything. It's just more nuanced, more layered, right? And I think that's what we've totally achieved here. And again, you have equal part in that. Without you, this would not be possible. So I want to just once again thank you for doing this. This was so valuable. I know I've been looking at the chat here and now a little bit. I think everyone found it very, very valuable and very interesting. And again, it's so rare that we get an opportunity to just discuss, again, not convince or to prove anything or anything like that at all, but just to discuss philosophy in a real life context, right? And I hope there are a couple things in here that you hadn't maybe considered before. There were for me, so there's a lot for me to consider. I hope there are a couple things for you as well. And who knows what will come out of that, right? As we both keep thinking about these things, the dots will connect and the new insights that we might come to and which we then might share again one day again. There's no telling for that. And that's what makes it so valuable. So thank you for that. I think it was a great discussion. And I really, really appreciate the honesty that you brought here. And of course, your time and your intention and your effort is very, very valuable. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I just want to conclude by saying that I do not encourage hatred or anger. I just want justice to be applied and like the circle of evil to break, not to like get more victims. And finally, I want to thank you because you respected like my other point of view. And like, thank you. Yeah.
Of course. No, and we cannot thank you enough because you're being the most generous one here with your time and everything. So this, once again, super, super special, very important conversation. And I hope that you sort of, I know you weren't in the Discord server before. I hope you maybe come back every now and then because there's a lot going on here in the outside of the live streams as well. Just chatting with people here, as you can see, is going on right now too. There are a lot of very kind, very generous, very interested people in here. And this, you are, I mean, it goes without saying, you're very welcome to always be here and to perhaps make a couple of new friends and just exchange views like we have been doing here at any other time. Okay.
Yes, thank you very much. That would be so valuable to me.
Yeah, no, really, that's why I started this place, because I don't know if you feel like this, but I hear a lot of people here saying that before sort of seeing the channel Accepting the Universe on YouTube, and especially before the Discord server here, they always felt like they wanted to talk to people about philosophy or interesting ideas they heard about. But their families are not very interested. Their friends are maybe not that interested in philosophy. And so they never had someone to really talk to about it, right, in depth. And so this is a place where we can actually do that. And so it's really great. I think everyone who feels that way, who wants to discuss ideas really deeply, like we have today here, for example, they often lack the sort of people to do it with in their personal, like physical lives, right? In their family, like I said.
Yes.
So this is an amazing place to do that. People from all over the world. And that's why we even call the meetings themselves kinship, because that's that's true kinship, right? When you have these ideas in common, or at the very least, even when you disagree, that you can do so in a way that's respectful and actually constructive and in a super friendly way, like is being done here all the time. So I hope you're going to find that very valuable. I hope we can repay you a little bit with some other interesting conversations that you might have here in that way. And there are also fun things like movie recommendations, music recommendations, right? All kinds of things. So thank you once again. I cannot thank you enough for your generosity of time and your efforts. And if there's nothing else that you want to add or say, then I'll sort of move you back to the audience and say a few more things before I end the meeting.
Okay, thank you very much. And this is so worth my time. And like, I want to thank everyone here in this kinship that I'm seeing your nice comments now, and like, I really appreciate this so much.
Excellent. And yeah, as you already said, we appreciate you very much too. And so I will move you back to the audience. Again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was a long time too. I didn't mean to keep you that long, but I hope you enjoyed it as well. And here again, once again, everyone, you see kinship at work. You see the ideas at work. You see how philosophy as a way of life is not only possible, but it is the way of life. It seems to be the highest good, right? And just like we discussed today, it is so important. Do you see now how important it is to pick the correct highest good? Do you see how important it is to not pick false idols and to do all these wrong things in their name? And of course, everyone makes mistakes. There's no war. There's no discussion among friends. There's no anything in life where both parties do not make mistakes. No one is entirely good, and no one is entirely bad. No one is entirely wrong, and no one is entirely right. But if we pick the highest, most beautiful, and truest thing that we can fathom and live our lives according to that, in our overall trajectory in this life and this being, we cannot go wrong. We cannot go wrong. And what we call philosophy, what perhaps 99.9% of the world would not call philosophy, and what many people truly call religion, it's all one thing. True philosophy, true religion is just a ladder to truth. And it does not really matter how you get to truth, as long as you get there. And to dismiss someone's ladder is to become unworthy of truth. And truth and goodness is everywhere, as well as mistake and misguidedness is everywhere. Don't try to force the circle into a perfect circle. It's enough if it's round. And so your life too is enough if it's round. It does not have to be perfect, and it cannot be perfect. But philosophy and all our friends from thousands of years ago, as well as those who are alive, as well as those who we've met, as well as those who will never meet, as long as they speak the truth, they are friends. And if that truth does not do us any good in our real lives, in our daily lives, then it is not truth. It has never been truth. And that examination of applying it to real life and to see if truth is truth is the work of life.